Why are they adjustable if you can't adjust the goddamn things?
There's a thing on it.
Twist that thing.
Your right hand, yeah. Loosen
there you
that.
Go. There you go.
And then,
attaboy.
Attaboy. Attaboy, Brandon.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, Friday.
Woo! We got it, boys. Look at us just figuring shit out. I am Brandon Walker. It is Pick Central. Hello. Avery, I didn't know you were here today. Avery can't even hear me. Don't worry about it. I haven't seen you today, Avery. I didn't even know you were here.
Hey, Brandon.
You going to give me a ride home? Say yes or no.
Or maybe.
Say yes or no. Maybe. Got a maybe. Apparently, Zah forgot how to work the mic there for a second. All right, so here we go. It is Pick Central, our daily gambling show, first and foremost, as I always do when this happens. I was not here yesterday. I had to go to the airport to pick up my mother and my sister, and they're here in town. In fact, my sister is sitting at my desk right now. She is visiting the office. So, because I had to do that yesterday and because I had to be out, Ben Metz sat in this chair. We definitely share rivals. We hate each other in that sense, but... fantastic dude and the most reliable guy I got sat here and did a great job.
I appreciate you saying that. I think there's a dynamic. We're both up in New York far away from our families. And yeah. I think we totally respect like whatever we can do to support family time.
So, yeah, thank you very much. So he hosted the show very capably yesterday. I am back today. Big Ev, he had a similar issue today. He had to be out to go to the airport and take care of somebody. Marty Mush is up there in Seattle at the Barstool Classic, or he's been there. Rico was never planning to be here today, and then I want to thank also Joey Molinaro sat in this week.
He was good, too.
He's great.
Good.
White
good.
Sox Dave sat in this week. Carl sat in this week, and I feel like I'm missing
Smitty,
one extra.
Smitty
thank
here.
You very
this
much.
Is, we had a Smitty White Sox Dave show, and Smitty has been good on here, too.
I love when Smitty's on the show. Smitty's just fun to talk sports with. But today it's just me and you. It's just me and you, brother, and we're talking about sports. We're talking about gambling. We're talking about everything in the world of sports. We're going to go through the normal sports topics that I think are front and center in this world. And no, you guys are asking to see my sister. I think I'm saving that for the Yak. I think
she was on Walk the Line earlier too, right?
She was on Walk the Line. But I don't think this is a gambling show. I don't think it would really behoove anybody for me to bring her in here. Might knock the views up a little bit, but, you perverts calm down. So she'll probably be on the Yak and, we'll have fun with that there. Right now, though, I want to talk about sports. We're going to talk. We're going to just indulge ourselves, and later in the show, we're going to have some college football talk. And we're just going to dive into that. And we're going to talk college football because I'm a college football guy. He's a college football guy, and we're going to talk about it. I know it's May, but shit, it's all
spring football just ended, though.
It did. It very much did. But one of the big stories, and Albert Pujols retired yesterday. We'll get to that. We'll get to a couple of other things. There's also a fascinating college football hire I'd like to talk to you about in a little bit. I don't know if you saw it.
Leipold, Kansas?
No.
I love that one.
Lance Leipold.
Or Leipold, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I said it wrong.
But Lance Leipold from Kansas is a very good hire, but it's a different one.
Oh, the Kevin Kelly Presbyterian?
Yeah. That's interesting to monitor. But the big story yesterday, and I thought it was incredible by Caleb to have this guy right after it happened, but Floyd Mayweather and Jake Paul, it goes viral. Jake Paul takes the hat off his head. Floyd Mayweather, what? Staged or not, it continues to show that boxing is headed for the money rich grounds of these personalities, the Paul brothers. And I don't know how good that is for the sport or how bad that is for the sport, but I'm sure it's great for everybody's pockets.
Yeah, I mean, people love the person. It's crazy with the era we live in now. It's about being entertaining and having personalities and a following almost more than it is the actual craft.
Yeah, it is weird, but it's boxing more so than any sport, I think, has always been spectacle first.
For sure.
And now, at the end of the day, it's two guys beating the shit out of each other, but it has always been outside the ring chaos and inside the ring chaos and just pure spectacle. So
Don King, naturally, his entire career.
Naturally, you're going to get the stars that make themselves outside of boxing and that are able to bring their personality. But, I mean, I didn't watch it but once. I watched it once. Jake Paul takes the cap off Mayweather's head. It's clearly staged, right?
Yeah, it had to be. But, I mean, they handled it well, I thought for sure.
I mean, I there's a lot of people. I would say there's, I don't know, 11% of the people in this world, I would feel comfortable taking the hat off their head and just saying, I got your hat. I don't know if Floyd Mayweather's one of them.
Especially in that public of a spot, I think it had, yeah. Because I feel like Mayweather, you know, he just would instinctively throw a jab just without even thinking. It's just in, you know, he's trained to do it. Yeah. Like, dude comes and reaches right in his face, the territory, he's just going to pop you real quick.
B-Walker, are you nervous about leaving your sister out there alone with the wolves? There are no wolves here. Nobody's here.
Nobody's here.
Friday in the summer, Dave's not here. People, there's, and I can't really hate on that. I wasn't here yesterday. I had to do the airport.
But, a lot of people are traveling, too.
A lot of people are traveling. So there, it's not a full office today. In fact, a very, very empty office. Which
Barstool Classic.
It's unavoidable. I mean, it is what it is. People work. But I really enjoyed those two or three days where we had everybody here. That it felt like we had an energy in the office, and the content was better for it.
Yeah, and also, I've been here 6 months. I met a ton of people for the first time this week. And Joey Molinaro being here all week was amazing. But just in general, having the Chicago guys here, there was a lot of energy. And obviously, we're spoiling nothing. But, you know, everybody, I'm glad people showed up for the Dozen Trivia Tournament. Jeff deserved it.
That's what sucks about the Chicago guys being the Chicago guys. Like, I wish those four guys were here in the office all the time because the content would be better. But if they were here in the office, they wouldn't be the Chicago guys. Mm-hmm. So you know, it is what it is. But whenever they come, it's great. Joey being here was great. Just a ton of people. Everybody who gave a shit made an effort to come here and be part of the festivities this week, and it was really, really cool. So keep your eyes on Nick. If there's anybody out there I'm not worried about, it's Nick. Nick hasn't made eye contact with her yet. Kyle was odd. KB was weird. Mm. KB, I walked up and said, hey, this is my sister, Caitlin. And he said, oh, hey, how are you?
Like, oh, he did really, one of those.
Yeah, it was.
Kind of like Turtle used to in Honor Eyes.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was KB, the guy that's awkward and can't look anybody in the eye. And he does this whole thing like, how are you? How was your trip? And he like elongated his words.
Yeah.
It was weird. I think he might be on cocaine.
I feel like that's to be continued on the act then.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I don't think Roan's here today, but I haven't seen Big Cat either. I think he'll be here. I'm sure he will. All right, thoughts on the Fins releasing Bobby McCain, B-Walk? The Dolphins are just a team. Well, they just drafted a safety in the second round, but they had 8 captains in 2020. 5 of them no longer on the team.
Wow.
5 team captains no longer on the team. It's exciting, though, because I do believe they're building the roster, and they're building the roster into being a very athletic one.
I like Forrest. I think they got the right coach and attitude.
Is the wind blowing in at Wrigley over 7.5? Makes no sense. Cahill and Davies suck. Why? Is there a pitcher named Cahill, or are you talking about Marty Mush? I hope there's a pitcher named Cahill, and I didn't read that out loud. All right, so I want to talk about Albert Pujols.
Yes.
Little question here. So Albert Pujols released by the Angels. Will this be the end of the line? I don't know. It certainly feels like the Cardinals are probably, if anybody else doesn't pick him up, the Cardinals can pick him up for a glory run, and then he retires in the offseason, something like that. He's 41 years old. He hasn't been himself for almost a decade. I mean, it's been a long time. His splits with the Angels and the Cardinals, unbelievable.
The second that contract the Angels gave him, I mean, it was like kind of obvious that was coming.
Yeah, you thought it was coming.
They gave him like 10 or – I mean, they gave him like –
It was 10 years, yeah. But you knew it was coming, but you thought it would be like the last 2 or 3 years of the deal. He's been average or bad for many years. I mean, the second he got to the Angels, he fell off.
Yeah,
a little bit.
He didn't really get like
he never had a vintage season with the Angels. My question is this: now that Pujols is out,
I mean, is he 41 or is he 45? You know, that's my question.
It's a worthy question. It's one of those. Albert Pujols, is he? And if he isn't, who is? Is he the greatest hitter this century? Is he the greatest hitter in baseball this century?
He just didn't age well.
Clearly,
he's so good, though.
But, yeah, he didn't age well. He still, right now, has 667 home runs. I'm pretty sure that's 1, 2, 3. I think that's fourth all time.
Yeah, it's fourth or fifth.
Yeah, I think that's fourth all time. He passed Willie Mays, who was at 660, who was third forever. But it is Albert Pujols, who's now been released by the Angels and could be going into retirement, could be getting one last run. Is he the best hitter of the century, of this since 2000.
Well, he's never gotten caught with steroids too, and that's and that's, you know, that's a huge thing.
We assume him to be clean, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess like if he pulled off, not, I mean, his name isn't tainted, so I can't, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty. And he's not, I mean, he was bigger, but he was never, You know, I don't think he was ever too obvious.
The only arguments, let's see, if you're crowning the best hitter of the century, I think you talk about Pujols. I think you talk about Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, I was thinking about Cabrera too. And Cabrera did better aging.
And I think his career is only half done. You certainly say Mike Trout is putting himself in the conversation. And then I don't believe it. I don't agree with it. I think you have to put late-stage Barry Bonds in there because late-stage Barry Bonds, technically and statistically, the best hitter that ever lived, but that was all phony and fake. So I don't really want to discuss that part.
Yeah, exactly. That's where you got to give Pujols the credit, though, is the fact that, you know, his name wasn't tainted by anything.
Let's see. Miggy had almost had back-to-back triple crowns. Yeah, Miguel Cabrera. I still think Pujols became a bigger name, and Pujols won titles.
Miguel was on. He was the rookie on the Marlins.
That's right.
Team.
He did.
He was
You're
on the
right.
Marlins
oh,
team.
2003.
When Beckett
sure.
did a shutout.
So he won one too. Cabrera or Pujols? Cabrera or Pujols?
Are you talking power hitters
He's
or just hitter
overall.
In general?
I'm just talking about hitters.
You didn't say Ichiro yet.
I didn't. Ichiro. He came in the league at 27 and still had a 3,000 hit career. That's pretty fucking impressive.
He's yeah. done not enough of a run producer, though.
I feel like Ichiro.
Conversation.
I feel like Ichiro would be certainly a top five hitter in the 2000s.
No, he's incredible, but it just, I don't know. It's just the run. You know, he got on base a lot, but he wasn't like a huge run producer.
Bad argument here. Best hitter of the century is probably in second grade right now. Robert Fried, you dumb fucking idiot. Obviously, I mean, right now, I'm not asking you to predict somebody who's going to be playing in the 2060s and 70s. Why are people so goddamn stupid? God, I know YouTube, you don't vet people for stupidity. Shit. Prince Fielder? No, be serious. What are you talking about?
I'm thinking on the other ones. These Trout you mentioned is very, very obvious.
I don't know. Like there are some sneaky ones that would like slide in the back end, like Adrian Beltre would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The longevity. See, the thing is, the longevity. Beltre.
Jeter? Somebody said Jeter? Get the fuck out of here. Jeter? If you ever say Jeter when I say best hitter in fucking 2000, get the fuck out of here. Are you kidding? That's worse than another idiot's comment.
I got to give Jeter credit for when you look at his stats versus how famous and how he pulled it off.
Yeah.
I mean, no man has pulled off a better. I don't want to say. I mean, he was excellent. Don't get me wrong. But to be able to pull off the cult hero status he did, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So, A-Rod.
Yeah.
A-Rod's definitely one.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon, you got to chill, dog. If I chilled, I'd just be like any other boring piece of shit out there. I gotta have this edge to me. No, I'm not going to chill.
Friday.
Suck my dick. You chill. Chill on these nuts. David Ortiz.
Yeah, and the clutch. The Ortiz thing was every time they needed a big one in the playoffs, too. And those should almost count five times as much or 10 times as much. Yeah, I mean, I think he's got to be in the conversation, too.
I say.
I'm trying to think who else.
A-Rod, Ichiro.
Trout.
Miggy.
Pujols
are your top four, and then Trout is in progress. Tony mm-hmm. Gwynn did not.
He wasn't really in the 2000. You know, he was really.
Votto, no.
Vladimir Guerrero wasn't quite good enough to make this list, but he was something.
He didn't have the longevity either. Yeah. He was like a shooting star across the night sky.
He's kind of one of the guys when you watched him, his attributes were so overwhelming that maybe you overrate him.
I remember when he first started, my friend who's a baseball guy said, it's going to be the best player that ever played baseball. And for about 5 years, he was very, very, very good. He went up and came down a little bit.
Manny Ramirez. Very short career. Manny was awesome for a while, too. I mean, he faded as well toward the end. But I remember, when he was in his peak in the early 2000s, he was putting up some crazy numbers.
Joey Votto didn't pop out for like three consecutive seasons. Well, if that was a stat, then he's the best. But who gives a shit? He didn't hit the home runs Pujols did. Vlad Guerrero, Chipper 6. I put in a lot of Chipper's best years, his very best years. Like, his MVP season was 1999.
Yeah. Yeah, he was awesome at the very beginning. But, I mean, he's still the longevity there, too, though.
Ortiz never fell off because he was on steroids. Well, that's your opinion. Actually, he was pretty linked to it.
He was very –
it was pretty standard,
very large.
He definitely was, yeah. Manny, a career 315 hitter. Manny.
He was awesome there for a minute.
Yeah, I just don't think he cracks that top five of the 2000s because he, again, had some great 90s seasons.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the discussion. Pujols is about to be out. Pujols released by the Angels. This was always a
contract. Is this the last year of his contract?
This was all, yeah. Okay. This was always a contract that was going to look bad at the end. But it's a contract I think that's looked bad for 5 or 6 years now. And the Angels, boy, the Angels are just fascinating. They now have how they keep getting. They got Ohtani, they got Trout, and they just stink.
And then they have money. The thing is they have money.
Yeah.
Moreno, that owner, Moreno, Artie Moreno or whatever, he'll throw the money down. I mean, look at him getting Ohtani and paying Pujols. Do they just not have a farm system or like an organizational structure?
The only reason I know they have a farm system and where it is, I read a book by a minor leaguer who chronicled his first year in minor leagues. He played in Provo, Utah, and he had to deal with all these Mormon stuff. Matt McCarthy, very good book. It's called Odd Man Out.
Okay.
And he was in the Angels system, and he had a lot of inside Angels information from back then. I think they were coming off the World Series. No, that was the year they won the World Series.
Yeah, with K-Rod. They had, K-Rod.
K-Rod, and they had Torey Gloss. They had
Garrett,
all those
guys. Garrett Anderson.
Yeah, I
Gloss.
Think so.
They had some, yeah. No, they were good. They had a really deep line. David Eckstein, I think.
Tim Salmon was still there, I believe. Just a fascinating team. They kept Barry Bonds from getting one. Let's see. Somebody just gave $35 to say rugby pick for the boys. Blue Bulls money line versus Stormers. Rainbow Cup in South Africa, +100.
That was actually 35 South African rand. That's what ZAR stands for.
Is this the first time we've ever been given South African rand?
Probably. Which is $2.49 U.S. dollars.
Wow.
Thank you for the $2.49.
Target 35.
Is their team it's called the Blue Bulls? Blue Bulls?
Yep, Blue Bulls is from Pretoria.
I knew it was from Pretoria. South Africa. Yeah, Pretoria, yeah. It's my favorite South African province.
Oh, nice.
City? City, probably?
No, not city.
Region?
City.
Okay.
Province Pretoria is Gauteng, I believe.
Gauteng, yeah. Gauteng, that's what I was about to say, Gauteng. Yeah, yeah. Very good. Me and you. Pretty much the same.
There you go.
Yeah. maybe Joey Bats, Jose Bautista? No. Come on. Like Jose Bautista had a couple of good years, but
he didn't hit for average that good either.
Yeah, he didn't have the longevity, and he has great bat flips, but he was okay. Love listening to two guys who actually know sports. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that. No, I'm not bringing my sister in here. It's all about my sister today. She's out there. She'll be in the yak, I think. I hope so. You look handsome today. Best pitchers of the 2000s. I didn't mean for this to be a discussion where we just talk about the best players of the 2000s, but Pedro.
Yeah, the Pedro star, man. The Pedro. Well, it was 99 was that crazy year, though.
23-4, yeah.
Yeah, that was the crazy year, man. DeGrom's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at his stat. I mean, obviously, win-loss record means.
Verlander, Kershaw.
Yeah, Verlander, Kershaw for sure.
Yeah.
It seems like it's been more of a pitching dominant decade to like since coming out of the steroid era.
You know what else?
It feels like there's more pitchers to say here.
It seems like in the 2000s, there's been a ton of pitchers come out, dominate for 3 or 4 years, and then just be done. Like Johan Santana, Tim Lincecum, dominate. Done.
Lincecum
dominate. Done. Mike Hampton dominate. Done.
Yeah, he felt man. Hampton's career was weird because he was just awesome.
All three of those guys' career, like Tim Lincecum, I thought was going to be a Hall of Famer.
Barry Zito fell off big too.
Yeah, yeah.
He had the good few years.
Roy Halladay, that's a good one. Verlander, Johan Santana. Johan Santana was the best pitcher in baseball for 3 years, and then just sucked.
Yeah.
I wonder if Frank has an opinion
about
that.
Remember Dontrell Willis? He was kind of like that.
I very much do.
Josh Beckett had a good career.
Even Dontrell Willis, though, was never – like he was a good pitcher. He wasn't dominant like
that. It was just his windup. He became famous because he stood out.
I love Dontrell Willis.
Oh, yeah.
I love that 2003 Marlins team with –
That was my favorite gambling back when I was a junior. Well, I guess I was technically a junior in college, but I had them for $100 when I was in college at 26-1 to win the World Series when Beckett threw that shutout. Yankee Stadium, that was one of my favorite. The money's irrelevant. That was one of my favorite feature stories I've had.
What a gambling memory that is.
It was awesome. Yeah, well, they had like a young line. They had Pudge on that team.
Because you know what was tough about that bet? You know what was great about that bet? The Red Sox were good that year. The Cubs were very good that year. The Yankees were good. These three major franchises, everybody's betting them. To bet the Marlins in the middle of that summer when you know that you've got the Red Sox, the Cubs, that's a pretty disciplined, good bet.
Well, the thing was they had like a super deep young lineup. They had like Derek Lee, Cabrera. They had just called up Cabrera.
Moises Alou.
Cliff Floyd. Yeah. Cliff Floyd was on the Marlins. Luis Castillo was hitting leadoff. And then they had A.J. Burnett, Josh Beckett. I think not Leiter wasn't on that one, but they had a good pitching staff, and just jumped on it, and it was crazy because that was the Cubs year when the Bartman year.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why Moises Alou came to my head, because Moises Alou is the one that pointed at him and yelled at him in left field.
Yeah, that was it was a wild year, but that was one of my favorite gambling memories for sure.
So I do want to talk college football with you. Not a lot of people in the office today, so it's just me and Mincy just sitting here chilling, talking sports.
We are here, though.
We're very here. Very, very here. Of course, I wasn't here yesterday, so again, I can't blame anybody for not being here. Me and my mom and my sister, we went to my 12-year-old softball game last night. So my girl had 12 hits. Not 12 hits, 3 hits. She's 12 years old. Yeah, she had 3 hits. She was 3 for 3, scored 3 runs. They won 19-0. Dang. Good-ass team. We got a good team.
Good.
Yeah, we hit the ball all the way through the lineup. Came up there in Montvale, New Jersey, and just beat a bunch of rich kids' asses, Avery. So, no, you're not listening, but if you were, you'd laugh. TJ, you got me.
We're all cracking up back here.
Okay. Zah and Avery are talking to each other. Zah, you're not paying attention at all.
Not at all.
Not even a little bit.
So I listen for peaks. I listen for when your mic peaks and all.
Well, I don't yell when Frank's in here, so that's what you listen for.
So it's easy going. That's why I'm chit-chatting with Avery.
Yeah, Zah's still recovering from the Arsenal game.
That too.
There was some real disappointment.
I didn't sleep.
Him and Troops were not happy yesterday.
TJ, did we just get $2 Canadian? Is that Canadian?
Yeah, $2.79, which is like $3, I think.
So when it comes to the curve, we're getting a lot of money here today.
Yeah. YouTube is weird. You can donate in any currency you want. So people will donate like 10,000 rupees, which is like not much money.
I wouldn't mind getting some lira today. Somebody give me some lira.
Italian?
Yeah. Give me some lira up in here. Best rotation. The guy paid $2 to ask me best rotation in the 2000s. Was it Philly in 2010?
Or there could be that Tigers team that had like
this Dodgers bunch. Dodgers bunch right now ain't bad either.
Yeah, they're pretty fucking good.
I mean, now that they have Bauer,
who were the so the Phillies were Papelbon, Cliff Lee,
Brett Myers. Right?
Yeah. I don't know. They were really good.
Yeah, Cliff Lee. Was Cole Hamels there too then?
Probably. Yeah,
because that was before he was there before he went to the Rangers.
Did you see there was a 46-45 softball game in the Alabama high school playoffs yesterday?
I did not.
65 walks. That had to be a miserable ass experience.
65? How long did that game take?
I don't know. It had to take 2 days. Jeez. Here's the thing. If boys out there or fellas, I don't know if everybody watching me is younger, but if you have a girl and you get into the softball scene, good softball is fun to watch.
No, it's very intense.
Good pitcher, good fielders, good hitters. That's fun to watch. Bad softball is the worst sport in the world.
Okay,
it is awful. If you get a pitcher that can't throw strikes, if you get fielders that can't field, hitters that can't hit, that's just 2 hours you'll never get back in a day, and it is god awful, god awful.
I've been impressed by the product. Like, I mean, I'm not going to say I watch a ton of college softball, but I'll watch like the NCAA tournament part and the College World Series in Oklahoma City. And I mean, the college softball's fun.
What about what about college baseball this weekend?
State's got a big one in South Carolina. Mississippi State now number 4. Y'all having a very strong season like y'all generally do every year. South Carolina was top 10 or 11, and they got swept in Oxford last week, and they're in a weird spot now at 11 and 10. So Founders Park and Columbia, we've got a lot of Gamecock fans that have, and their players all follow me. I want to see how they bounce back. State's looking at a national seed again.
Hold on. I want to get back to college baseball.
Oh, yeah,
I want to have this conversation.
Oh, yeah, good
but
day for
I just since we – I like to have discussions, since I like to have back and forth, okay? Taylor Bean says, Brandon's Jeter take sounded like something Max Kellerman would say. All right, I just got to be honest. Chat, if you're Yankees fans, if you're whatever, are there actual human beings in the world that think Derek Jeter is – in contention for the best hitter of the 2000s? Is there an actual person in the world that thinks Derek Jeter is a top 5 hitter in the 2000s? Like, is that it? Even I don't even think a Yankees fan would say that.
I'm a Yankees fan. There's a lot of like more delusional Yankees fans than me out there. I think Jeter's value came in like his leadership and clutchness.
But if I'm talking hitters,
he's not. No.
Yeah.
Is he in the top defensive shortstops.
No, he would make like famous plays, but then if you looked at his metrics, his range was real bad.
His moments outweigh like his overall performance.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about
he's my favorite player of all time.
We're talking about a 303 lifetime hitter, I believe.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
That would hit, I think he hit 303. Talking about a 303 hitter, a lifetime, and then you're talking about somebody that hit what, 150 home runs? I mean, it's not 200 home runs?
No, yeah, not, nothing.
I'm saying 310
lifetime. 310
lifetime.
You think about that, and then you think about how many big playoff home runs he had, whether it's the Meyer home run or the Mr.
Well,
November.
That wasn't
so 260 home runs, 1,311 RBIs.
He's
3,465
He's got to be in the conversation for most clutch player of all time, but best hitter of all time, no.
I feel like he... You know, the shortstop of the Yankees when they had all the, you know, the rookie year and all the World Series, he, you know, he crushed the fame part of it, yeah, in the right place, right? I mean, he had an excellent career. I mean, he's an all-time legend. I get all that. But, like,
oh,
he, as far as, like, he was
he
way –
he benefited from his surroundings. Yeah,
he fucked some incredible women.
Yeah, he's way more famous.
He fucked some incredible women. Good.
He's in the fucking Hall of Fame.
Yeah, his pussy Rolodex is Hall of Fame.
And, hey, one of the great things he did – was he was ahead of his time making people put up their phones when they came to party with him. That was a thing with Derek Jeter.
Really?
Oh, yeah. When he had, like, parties and kind of stuff, he made people.
How do you know that?
No, it's like a known thing. It was like if you went and party with Derek Jeter, you never saw the photos all over the internet. He made people put up their phones if they're like, hey, you can come in. But
you've got this fascinating – you've got such a fascinating life and backstory because every time we talk, you say, oh, I was at that game. I was at,
I wasn't
2000,
at that game.
2002. So I'm just picturing in my mind – You went to a Derek Jeter party in Manhattan in 2003.
No, I did not. I've heard that was a real
cocaine
thing.
And hookers, huh?
Sure.
Just talking to Derek Jeter. Have you heard a new Widespread Panic song? I don't do a good Mincy or anybody else. So again, I don't mean to shut you off. I do want to talk that college baseball real quick. Not very long, because but college baseball, Mississippi State, South Carolina is a big one.
Texas TCU is massive, and I've been getting a lot of heat, rightfully so. Everybody knows I'm an SEC guy, but I'm trying to, you know, at least cover some other stuff too. And the Big 12, the state of Texas cares a lot about college baseball. Texas TCU is a top 10 matchup in Fort Worth. The TCU fans were begging me to come. But Ty Madden of Texas is a really good pitcher throwing tonight. Watching that series really close, kind of at the top of the Big 12 along with Texas Tech. A couple of more. The Mississippi State, South Carolina's been – Florida State at Notre Dame's huge. Notre Dame's like top five this year. They're like 21-8 in the ACC. And the ACC's tough. And Florida State's number 18. They're always really good. So Florida State, Notre Dame, another big one this weekend.
Big Ben with a comment that is both hurtful and funny and accurate. So that's three things. Big Ben says this could easily be the 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock show on Tupelo, Mississippi radio.
It could.
It 100% would.
Or Bossier City.
We're both lucky, and we're sitting here. So, yes, we could be on the fan down there in Tupelo or the ticket or whatever it is, and we could be playing to the Saltillo crowd. But you know what? We're fucking here, so deal with it.
Yeah. I was 3-6 Bossier City, Louisiana for 4 years, so that's –
And my computer died. Bye-bye, chat. All right, so – I left my charger at home. I was all 6s and 7s yesterday. I don't know what that means. I think British people say it for when you're all fucked up. Is that right? Do you say it too, Zah?
Yes, sir.
All 6s and 7s?
Yep.
What does it mean?
If everything's messed up.
I always thought, if you play blackjack or cards, you don't want a bunch of 6s and 7s.
Yeah, I guess you don't.
Yeah.
What do you do with them? You split them?
Oh, it could be. I mean, 6s and 7s aren't that bad in the grand scheme of things. Like an Ole Miss tailgate, you know, you take what you can get.
Oh,
a bunch
man.
Of 6s and 7s.
The women, the food may be on the 6s and 7s, but the women are generally above that.
I agree with you, Ben Mintz.
When it comes to the NBA playoffs, can the Lakers get it together? Because last night, Anthony Davis came out of the game again with a back injury. Everybody assumes the Lakers are going to get it together. Everybody assumes that the Suns and the Jazz and everybody that's above them are just going to wilt against the Lakers when it comes time. But we're getting close, and the Lakers might not have it together. They might not be ready.
I was looking. So we went through the bracket right now, and it's fascinating to see because right now the Lakers are the 6.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not great.
No, and then they're matched up right now with Denver, and it's just a shame that Jamal Murray tore his ACL because Denver was really putting it together after the Aaron Gordon trade with Murray and Michael Porter's emergence and Jokic. I still think I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, though.
I don't know, though. Denver gets after you. Denver fucking – they're going to
– good home court advantage, too.
They're going to get out there, and they're going to make them run. If Anthony Davis ain't ready to go, and if LeBron ain't ready to go, LeBron's a little ahead of Anthony Davis. With Anthony Davis pulling out last night, I don't know if that's long term.
Anthony Davis,
is.
Though, he like gets scratched and goes to the locker room. He's like the all time. I mean, he does that like 20 times a year.
Sorry,
I hate to call him out on that, but he was known for that in New Orleans.
My legs cramping.
Brandon.
My legs cramping.
I did want to thank Mr. Mintz for inviting me onto the show yesterday. something you've never done. So
we caps right, caps right.
Time. I literally invited you on the show the day before.
It was more, but
you
I
were
like,
walking
sat the
by.
Whole show.
I said, "Avery, come here."
Yeah, but that was like I was just walking by. Ben like came up to me before and was like, "Hey, you want to hang out for the whole show? Like this and this, you know." Have an actual guy talk hockey.
You're being a real ass right now. I don't know that I'm going to let you drive me home today.
Okay.
I don't know that I'm going to let you be my chauffeur today.
I'm actually totally fine with that.
Okay. I'll let you drive me home.
Okay.
I will let you drive me home.
I just wanted to follow up on that. He went to the Caps Rangers game, and so that was a big topic today, you know, the day before. So I appreciate your insight.
People like actual hockey guys talking hockey.
Are you accusing? Are you throwing shade at other people in this company?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I like that. That was the loudest sip I've ever heard, Ben Mintz.
No, I'm bad.
Should I bring my sister in here and we talk to her? No, I'll do that. I'll do that on the Yak.
That will be fun on the Yak. I'm gonna have to watch that.
Day rankings coming out today.
And I gotta say,
I think the rankings are locked in, Ben. Don't try to move up.
No, I'm not. I was gonna say something funny. He tweets out a picture of his shirt on Twitter. Like his Friday vibes. And then he said to me in the office, I'm like, nice shirt. He goes, oh, I'm uncomfortable with so many people noticing it. That. How you tweet it out?
Yeah.
How you going to tweet out, like, the shirt thing? And then you got to, I don't know, I was surprised. I didn't get that message.
That would be like you coming back from Mississippi saying, oh, I'm uncomfortable. Everybody saw me in Mississippi like that.
Yeah.
Well, you tweet it out every day.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, friends, MeUndies believes that comfort is about more than what's touching your skin. It's about feeling comfortable in your skin. That's why MeUndies not only uses sustainable, breathable, soft-as-heck fabric, they also give you endless styles to choose from. It's total comfort inside and out. MeUndies offers classic colors to ridiculous prints. It's also you can fully express yourself in your own unique way. MeUndies are available in a range of sizes from extra small to 4XL. Well, I guess you got the XL guys right now.
I'm going to get some MeUndies. I hadn't gotten any yet. I want to buy them.
Yeah,
they are big man certified. I'm wearing them right now.
You enjoy it? They're good. They're good product?
Really good.
And I need some new boxes.
TJ just announced to the world he's got a big old dick. Thanks, TJ.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it. What happened? Are you watching soccer?
We're watching now? Olympic diving trials. Carry on.
Are we going to have okay, let me finish the MeUndies. Never leave your couch again with a MeUndies membership, a monthly subscription that sends new pairs right to your door. Each month you choose new undies, socks, or a bralette. Pick the style or color or print that feels most you. It's awesome. Please enjoy discounted pricing, free shipping, and exclusive early access to new launches. Love your butt and get the membership. Boy, I love my ass. I'm a huge fan of my ass. To get your 15% off your first order, free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/picks. That's MeUndies.com/picks. Okay, wait. Are we going to have an Olympics?
I don't know.
Japan's still under the gun with this thing, right?
Yeah, I don't feel good
about it.
They're,
like, not, like, promoting it as if
we are. I need the Olympics. I don't want to miss an Olympics.
Last thing I think I heard was that they were still debating whether they wanted to let international fans go to the events.
Because, I mean, we're crushing the vaccine here in the U.S., but a lot
right.
of you look at, like, I know India's having a really bad
time.
They're
having a bad time
right now.
But if they didn't have it this year, do you think they would push off again to 2022, or they just say, all right, no Olympics this time around?
No, because there's Winter Olympics are in January.
Obviously, yes. But would summer say,
yeah.
Would summer say, hey, no, we'll just get it in 2024?
I think we'd probably just skip it.
I don't want to miss Ledecky in her prime. Isn't she in her prime, the swimmer? How's the diving going?
Good. It's Tom Daly, the British guy.
Yeah, Tom Daly. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Two-time bronze medalist.
Two-time bronze medalist is what I was about to say.
Just got a 91. That's pretty good.
Pretty
fucking first.
Good. Okay, good.
I don't know if this is even live or not.
You seem, I doubt it is, you've seen Ben Mintz, like, in your younger days. I bet you could pull off a 1.5, a gainer. Could you dive?
I could do a good cannonball still, but I couldn't dive.
You couldn't dive?
I was more like, I would always use the element. I did it in that video promoting the blockchain for the term.
Yeah.
It's all about the element of surprise, like cannonball. When people don't see it coming to friends and stuff, that always sets it off.
But I feel like, and you and I are both bigger guys, if you're the bigger guy at a swimming pool party, the pressure is on you to deliver a cannonball at some
yeah,
point.
Yeah, no, you have to do it.
There's
expected.
No surprise element whatsoever. You've got to do a cannonball at some point.
You have to.
I was never a cannonball guy. I could dive.
Yeah, I could. But I couldn't.
I was all limbs. I was all limbs and testicles. You know, I couldn't go all the way over. I would do a flip, good, but I couldn't quite finish the 1.5. I couldn't finish the gainer or stuff.
I would try a dive and then I'd end up belly flopping and my stomach would get very red.
Does everybody call? Okay, so
belly buster.
Our cannonball is called cannonball universally. Okay.
Yes.
Is it? Did anybody else do something called the can opener?
You're a jackknife.
You know what that is?
That's like the one knee, right?
The one knee.
Yeah, one knee. Yeah,
one knee. The can opener. Yeah.
Yeah, you do the can, and you did the mini can opener.
Yep.
Okay. All right. You did the bottle opener. It's a little thing you put on your keychain. No, it's all good. Okay. I did the can opener. Did you do the can opener?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't know if that was universally called that, or if that was something we called it in Mississippi, because that was the only appliance we had in our house, a can opener. But we're having fun.
That was like your baby rattle. You just played with the can
opener. Yeah, we just played with a can opener, a bottle opener, yeah, stuff like that.
You guys ever do the belly flop at parties, being big guys?
I don't have the belly, though.
Yes.
I'm big now, but I never really had the belly. I was always skinny as shit.
You were just a long, gangly basketball player.
I did a good toothpick. Toothpick, just jump up and straight down.
Pencil.
What's it called? The pencil.
I guess maybe that's a regional thing.
Okay, there you go. Well, I didn't know how many of these things were regional. We called it the toothpick. You just jump up
toothpick
and jump in.
I couldn't do that, though. Nothing quiet ever really works out for me.
Nothing toothpicky about you?
No.
Getting a lot of texts. All right, so college football. Well, first of all, let me do this. Today is the anniversary of three very unique things in sports.
Okay.
Very unique sporting events. Number one, today is the 5-year anniversary of Bartolo Colon hitting a home run.
I saw that this morning. Barstool New York tweeted about it.
It's a 5-year anniversary. It's crazy. I mean, pitchers hit home runs, and Bartolo Colon was in the league forever.
That was like his first hit, wasn't it?
But I guess him just being a gigantic fat guy at that point and being almost 42.
He's like 43 at that point too.
Just and hits a bomb in San Diego where it's hard to hit home runs.
I think they were saying it was 231 at bats or something in his career until that
really?
Homer.
Yeah.
Something like
that. Well, he spent most of his career in the American League.
Mm-hmm. But he pitched forever.
Forever. So that was one, and then you've got today is the 19-year anniversary of Allen Iverson. So Big Cat is here. There he is. Hi, Big Cat. What's up? How you doing? And he just stared at me.
I was just waving. He just,
That was just a mean person. You know, if it had been you that said, "What's up, Big Cat," he would have come in and
I waved at him. I gave him a wave. And
you only got ignored because you were sitting next to me. The 19-year anniversary of the Allen Iverson practice speech. And I remember watching this live on ESPN News, the Allen Iverson practice speech. You're talking about practice? Not the games. Practice. It made me so mad back then. I was like, you make $40, $30 million a year, you can't practice? What a piece of shit. Now, I look back, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Guy doesn't want to practice. If he plays better.
Well, this day and age, they don't even want to play the regular season games. You know?
That's right, yeah.
No, back then, you know, the practice, I mean, they look at these regular season games like they're practice now.
Now, the last one, which I kind of wish we had Rico here for because he talks about it a lot. It ruined the communion for him, I believe. Reggie Miller, 8 points, 9 seconds, happened in the Garden this day, 1995.
I remember that as a kid. I was 12 years old. I was about to be 12, and I was watching the game in my little playroom, and I turned the game off because I thought it was over, and I missed the last minute. I was literally watching it, and I turned it off.
I remember.
I regret that. Still.
You know what I remember about that? Back in the 90s. NBA games on NBC on Sunday afternoons were so fucking great. And this
love
was
the
playoffs.
Too.
In NBA on NBC. Somebody still uses that, right? Is it Fox College Basketball that uses it? Somebody uses it.
It's great.
Yeah. So those mid-90s NBC games on Sunday just hit different. They felt different. And that was one of them. That was right in the middle of the afternoon. Tom Hammond's on the call, I believe. Just a great, phenomenal. And Rico was there. Rico says one of the worst, one of the most memorable sporting events he's ever been to.
Yeah, I believe it. It was right after his communion. It's funny, too, because his memory of his first communion is Reggie Miller holding a choke side at Spike Lee. Somehow that's funny to me.
So what's the first communion, that's Catholic?
Yeah, that's Catholic. It's a big.
So it's your first time that you take the.
Yeah, I think you've been probably 8 or 9 years old.
First time you take the supper?
Yeah, the supper. You have to take a class before it, though. It's
I didn't know they made a big deal out of it. Are you Catholic?
No, I'm Episcopal. Well, I was Episcopalian, which is like Catholic light, but we had to do.
Right, that's Catholic, then do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what all the Southern bankers and lawyers are. You go to an Episcopal.
I've kind of been like leaning Presbyterian more lately, but
you know what? I was raised Baptist. I'm a Presbyterian.
Okay,
now.
It's so like the middle ground between like the hardcore Baptists.
Baptists who can drink.
Yeah.
Baptists who can drink. Yeah. So, not that I do very much. Anyway, when you were, was it when you were gone that you did the blog about 1 year sober?
Yes, yes. I did. Well, it was not a coincidence. It got posted the day after I got called out for the vacation. I was, because I'd been meaning to contribute to the, I've been talking for months, and I'd ask you, you told me it was a good idea to do some blogging.
Yeah, no, you need to. Yeah. Yeah. And I need to do it more.
Yeah, it's just a great, and the blog's the whole backbone of Barstool. That's mm-hmm. what it started as. And so I'm trying to, I wanted to start doing more blogging. Well, I was like, well, I'll just save it for this 1 year because I think this will pop. And it did. And, you know, I was, I've gotten a great response. And I got to give a big shout out to everybody at Barstool, too. I didn't know when I came in about, you know, I've been pretty open on the no alcohol thing. And obviously, we got a lot of people to booze here. It's cool. But everybody's just been super cool and supportive. It hadn't been weird at all.
Yeah, I found the same thing. I don't have the story that you have, but I don't really drink. And nobody, you know.
It's not. It's whatever.
People let you do your own thing.
That's the beauty. We get a blank canvas, and people are super supportive. And, I mean, I go out and drink club sodas at the bar with people. It's cool, you know.
I found an incredible website you guys have got to check out. Nuts.com is the best kept secret of savvy snackers across the country. Nuts.com isn't just for nut lovers. It's your one-stop online pantry shop. The simple and convenient way to have nutritious, delicious, healthy nuts, dried fruit, flowers, grains, and so many other high-quality foods delivered straight to your door. Over 4,000 products to choose from, including organic nuts, great nuts for kids, great snacks for kids. It's not just nuts. They got all kind of stuff that you can have in there. It is fantastic. I think it started as just nuts. Maybe it did. I don't know. But now it is just everything that you can find in the kitchen, everything you can snack on is right there at nuts.com. It's easy to navigate with great photos of the products. NewNuts.com customers get free shipping on your first order. I love you. I love you. That's Ebony. She and I get along great. NewNuts.com customers get free shipping on your first order when you text Barstool to 64,000. So text Barstool to 64,000 to get free shipping on your first order from Nuts.com. That's Barstool to 64,000. Terms apply. Available at Nuts.com/terms. Two college football things. And we'll talk about college football for a little bit because we're looking at futures and shit too, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, number one, Kevin Kelly. Kevin Kelly gets hired to coach Presbyterian, which I believe is an FCS team. On the surface, not a big deal. Not a big deal at all. But can some of his ideas get into college football and make their way up?
I think so. And his whole thing is he goes for it no matter what.
He always goes for it on fourth down, never punts, and onside kick every time. Every time. And I've always thought, I don't know about the no punt policy.
I mean, there's a fourth and 40 on your own five. You got to punt it away.
I do think your 40 should be like if you're behind your 40, I think that's when you should be punting. But these coaches that punt from the opponent's 47, these coaches that punt from the opponent's 41, pussies, the lot of them. So
Mike Vrabel had that awful one last year, Tennessee, yes. I remember when I came in here and went off on that.
Oh, I trust I'm going to get the ball back. Well, you got the ball right now. So why don't you do something with it right now? But he always onside kicks. I don't know about the punting one as much, but the always onside kicking is really intriguing to me. If you get one every two games, it's almost worth it, right? You're stealing a possession.
Especially in like a big, you know, I feel like in the Big 12 or like a, you know, a conference where games are 60 to 50. I think
right.
The strategy, you steal one possession every couple games where you're going down there and scoring all the time, and then that's the going for it on fourth down too. You know, I think you could work in those like really wilder type games.
I mean, you're kicking and you're usually going to give the ball up at about the 25 or the 30, right? I mean, that's going to be average in college football. You're giving up 20 yards for a shot at stealing a possession. That's basically what you're doing every single time. I don't know if it'll work. I don't know if it'll be great, but it's an exciting concept. And this guy now goes from the high school ranks in Arkansas. He's going to be coaching Presbyterian. He's going to be in the FCS level, and he's going to be doing these crazy concepts. It's very interesting to think that could bleed its way up the ladder.
There's another aspect of it, too, that we hadn't discussed. How much do you think his players love playing for him?
I would think they fucking love it.
Like, going for it, everything's aggressive, you know? It's not concerned. I feel like that's got to be – morale has to be high.
Well, you guys have a coach who goes for it
yes.
a lot.
Like, two – yeah.
A lot. And in the Egg Bowl, it made that game closer than it should have been.
Oh, Ole Miss left 10 points out there.
He was bad about it in the Egg Bowl. He made some mistakes. But
– the Bama game.
Was awesome. On the balance of the season, it works out.
I think it shows the confidence in the players, though. I think it really does the morale. Like, you know, when you got a coach that shows, I believe in you to get this fourth and four at the 50, you know, I feel like that's an energy thing, too.
Also in college football, so Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher are kind of jabbing back and forth in the media. I don't know that Saban's really jabbing at Jimbo, but Jimbo goes before a Texas A&M group.
I think it was in Houston.
And he says, hey, it's about time. We're about ready to kick Saban's ass. I fucking love that. I love that idea. Don't go to your – I mean, don't go out there saying, you know what, Alabama's the best, Nick Saban's the best, we're going to bow down, kiss the ring. No, fuck that.
No, yeah.
You got a $75 million contract. You've recruited a very high level. You're building. Now, will you beat Alabama? I don't know. But you got to tell your people, you got to say, it's time. We got
to
start kicking Alabama's ass.
They paid you $75 million to believe in you, and you got to show that confidence.
And you talk about players getting confidence in you. You're going out and telling people, hey, it's time to kick Alabama's ass. We got the right players here. What does that tell your players? And Alabama fans, of course, would say, oh, Nick's going to remember this. Nick's going to remember this. I never buy this notion that Nick Saban remembers something and it has gives him bulletin board material. No, Nick Saban just has.
He's a machine.
Nick Saban is a machine who always has the best game plan, the best players, and the best coaches beside him. That's why he wins every game by 38 points. It ain't because, oh, I've been slighted. Oh, I'm going to do this. No, he's just better than you, and he always shows it. So I never really think of the bulletin. I don't worry about bulletin board material with Alabama because they're going to knock the shit out of your bulletin board anyway. They're going to fuck you up anyway.
The only time I do remember thinking Saban was going to be extra pissed was the 17 Ole Miss Bama game because Ole Miss won in 14 and 15 and almost beat him in 16. I was like, we're about to get the ever-living shit kicked out of us. And they were up. They beat us like 70 to 30.
16, you guys like led early on?
Yeah, 24 to 3. And then they ran two punts back and all. Yeah.
I remember that season because it was close. You guys were awful. But you were close to being great because you led Florida State 28-6.
Yeah, we couldn't close games. You led Freezier, we couldn't run the ball when we got the few touchdown leads, and then everybody come back against us.
So, also in college football, what do you think? I don't know if I got your opinion on that, Saban and Fisher.
Man, I agree with what you're saying about Jimbo. I mean, they gave him $75 million. He damn sure needs to come in there and make everybody believe. And look, A&M, I feel like, I mean, people gave them credit last year, but maybe it was because of the COVID thing and they didn't make the playoff. They just had, like, the best season in school history.
I feel.
And they ended up number five. That was one game to Alabama.
I think A&M is going to be very good for a while. I think they've recruited at such a level. Like, Alabama recruits the best in the SEC. Alabama and Georgia recruit the best in the SEC. Alabama recruits and develops. Georgia doesn't develop. So that's your difference between those programs. Those are the two best recruiters in the SEC. And then you got A&M, who has quietly joined that rank of recruiters. They are right there behind those two recruiters.
And the other thing A&M does, and you were on this, you made a lot of money betting on them last year, was they actually played defense.
Yes.
And they might have had the best defense in the SEC last year.
They have recruited at a very, very high level defensively. That's why I think it's going to sustain them. I think they're a playoff contender this year if Haynes King is a good quarterback.
Yeah, and I covered him, and I saw him in high school when I was doing Louisiana high school radio, and he was unbelievable. He was a coach's son in Longview. He was the number one dual threat quarterback in the country, and you know, I know this is the guy Jimbo targeted. I mean, you know, since he's been there, this is his guy. And so we'll see. I feel like he could be really good.
When it comes to gambling, I look forward to this season. I think this is going to be the most wide-open college football season from a gambling perspective in a long time. And I'll tell you why. Clemson's plus 300. If I were choosing a favorite to win the national title, I would choose Clemson ahead of Alabama plus 250. Because Alabama is this. Alabama, their defense hasn't been as good in recent years. It'll be good enough, but it hasn't been as good, and I don't see it taking a step forward this year. Their offense was historically elite in 2020, and it has been so for a couple of years. They're replacing every single
– and Steve Sarkisian, who was awesome.
They're not only replacing key receivers or key running backs or key quarterback or key offensive linemen. They're replacing all of them. Their center, their tackles, they're replacing all their receivers, they're replacing all their running backs, they're replacing their quarterback. Like, they're going to have – it's all five-star guys. They're going to be good. I don't think they're winning a title this year. I think this is a year to get Alabama. I think Clemson with DJ Uiagalelei coming, they're the best major favorite. Now, the second best favorite, I'll let you have it.
Well, I was going to say one thing on Bama I will give them credit for is I've been hearing this Bryce Young –
Sure, it'd be great.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've heard he was one of the best high school people I've ever seen that respect him, so we'll see.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's Alabama's always got the next guy next, right?
Mm-hmm. Bobby Mac Jones wasn't supposed to be like that.
No, he wasn't. Ended up to be. And that's where Alabama's development comes in because Georgia would not have developed Mac Jones to be that guy. Georgia takes Jake Fromm from a freshman superstar into trash junior. They take Justin Fields and watch him go to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. They get the guys and can't do anything with them.
Jake
Alabama
left too.
Alabama takes four-star Mac Jones, puts him behind Tua, and then he's ready to be a great quarterback the next year. That's what separates Alabama from Georgia. But I do think Georgia plus 600 is great value this year.
Well, the Georgia, and you were on that. You were saying that because the way they picked it up toward the end of last year after they got Daniels in there, they were strong down the stretch. George Pickett was, you know, a huge injury in spring.
Pickens.
Or Pickens, sorry, Pickens. Sorry. No, I deserve that. George Pickens was a huge injury in spring football, tearing his ACL. I mean, he's an elite receiver, but you think they've got enough depth there and they run the ball well enough.
They're loaded at receiver.
Yeah, and their defense is loaded too.
They're loaded at receiver. I think they'll be very good. Plus 600. Can Kirby win a big one? That's the only thing. They got the roster. I just don't know if they have the coach.
I don't know either. I like Todd Monken, though.
I do like JT Daniels plus, I think he might be 1,200. I don't know what it is, but JT Daniels' future to win the Heisman because nobody's going to touch him in that division, and he doesn't have to play Alabama this year. Plus, he opens with Clemson. Georgia-Clemson, week one. Georgia-Clemson, week one.
Really?
It's Georgia-Clemson, week one, and then another Heisman
favorite. Is it on campus game?
No, it's in Charlotte, I believe.
Okay.
Georgia-Clemson, week one in Charlotte. And then another Heisman guy like a flyer on De'Arik King from Miami. I know.
I can see that. He's injured right now. I can definitely see that.
You know who he opens with?
I don't.
The Miami, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson are both week one.
Miami, Alabama.
Yeah. And Alabama, again, replacing everybody offensively. If Miami were to have a snowball's chance in hell against that program, it is week one in a neutral site in Atlanta, which isn't going to be a neutral site.
No, but fast track, too. So that's probably good for that Miami spread offense. Wow.
My dick moved a little bit just talking college football.
The Labor Day Monday night, Atlanta's Ole Miss Louisville. I'm just glad to get the national exposure for the Rebs.
Yeah, it's a pretty well scheduled game too because I don't think Louisville's going to be very good.
I don't either.
They were so weird last year. Like 2 years ago when Scott Satterfield started,
they were supposed to win like three games and they did okay.
They did great. They did great. They overachieved. But then in the second year, I thought they were going to be really good. They underachieved, and they came back. And then they had the weird thing like. He was asked at a press conference, Scott Satterfield was asked, what do you love about living in Louisville? He says, the best part about living in Louisville is you're 3 minutes away from the airport, and you can get out of here. And that's just weird. Like,
yeah,
why would you say that?
I guess he said that because living in Boone, North Carolina, where he was before, was a little more difficult for that.
Yeah, but the way he said it was just, like, very dismissive of Louisville and all that. I'll be in Louisville June 3rd. You know why?
No, why?
I'll be managing Big Trouble Ben Bishop at the OVW Kentucky Heavyweight Championship Tournament. So... going to be taking the wrestling act on the road.
I look forward to seeing it. I saw you took a little bump the other day, right?
I did. Well, I didn't take a bump. I'm going to be learning how to take bumps later this month. But the wrestler grabbed me by the collar here and held me up. And boy, if they hadn't come in, I was going to beat the fuck out of that big dude. I was going to mess him up. You hear me, TJ?
I'm sure you would have. Who's on your Mount Rushmore of wrestling ringside managers?
Oh, the greatest of all time. Mount Rushmore, so that's four. Bobby Heenan.
Love Heenan, too. His play-by-play, his color, he was great.
Bobby the Brain Heenan is the greatest of all time. Paul Heyman. Jimmy Hart.
Mouth of South.
And probably Jim Cornette with the
Midnight Express.
Yeah, with Miss Elizabeth right behind, right up as the alternate. So those are my five. Right now, if there are wrestling fans out there, they're saying, what about Paul Bearer? What about Paul Bearer? I just hated his voice. I didn't like Paul Bearer. I did not get into that character at all.
It was pretty spooky, though.
Rest in peace. I mean, I understand he was a good guy, but I didn't get into that particularly. I never got into The Undertaker as a wrestling guy. There are certain wrestlers I just never got into. I've never gotten into Randy Orton. I never got into The Undertaker. I didn't care for The Big Show.
I never liked the super big guys in general.
I didn't like
CM Punk.
Like
they'd always push like the big, the really big guys.
Yeah, the Giants, yeah.
Yeah, but they couldn't move. I don't know. I always had more respect for like the Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, the guys, the Jericho.
I think Shawn Michaels is the greatest of all time in ring.
I do too.
Ric Flair is the greatest of all time in ring and character work. Okay, so let's run through the picks very quickly.
Let's do it.
And then we will, I guess we'll get out of here soon. Maybe we'll circle back to something we haven't talked about yet.
Fast hour.
It was a fast hour, or it is a fast hour. My computer died, so I'm very confused and alone. I feel like, you ever see the Saturday Night Live skit? Did you watch a lot of Saturday Night Live back in the day?
Back in the day, I did. I don't as much anymore.
You ever see that? Nobody does. It sucks now. Did you ever see the Saturday Night Live skit where they were a morning show, a local morning show, and the teleprompter went out, and... The anchor and the co-anchor didn't know what to do, and it descended from, I don't know what to say, to pure chaos, and they ended up killing the weatherman and beheading the weatherman. Lord of the Flies. That's what I felt like when I lost the chat today. So the weatherman is dead. David Alan Greer, I believe, was the host that week. Very good. Okay.
I'd like to see
I'm
that.
I'm being very old right now. Did you know there's a Super League in golf? They're trying to get one? Saudi Arabia?
I saw that. No, I did see that. And they offered DJ and Brooks. Yeah, they were going
$30 million contracts. I think even Justin Rose might have gotten something like a $100 million offer. But
and they were supposed to be doing it like fall of 2022.
And some of the PGA Tour players, I believe, are upset that Rory McIlroy is saying, no, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this. Well, Rory makes the money now. Rory doesn't have to worry about money. There are others that struggle more for money. But that's interesting to keep an eye on. All right, picks. I guess I'll go first. I don't really know the standings. So
Mush had the good start, and then he started out 7-0, and then he had a 1-4, but he was still in first.
Mush even told us, I always start good, and then I'll be in the bottom very quickly. Twins -1.5 over the Tigers today. I like that one. You're not going to get any value on the money line, but I think the Twins are just going to pound the Tigers. So +108 for the -1.5. I like the Diamondbacks money line. I can't remember. Marlins, right? I believe they're playing the Marlins. Royals, White Sox, over 8.5. I'm kind of fading my thought there. I looked at it, and it's Brad Keller against Carlos Rodon. And I looked at it, and I'm like, that feels like an under game. But these lineups are
both
very, very, very good. So I'm kind of fading my initial thought process. I wasn't passionate about it, so I went over 8.5. And then Knicks +6.5 against the Suns tonight, Jazz -3 in a big showdown with the Nuggets.
Yeah, that is a huge one in Utah, because Utah's got a one-game lead on Phoenix right now for the one seed.
Yeah, so that's a key game tonight. I'm going with the home team on that one. All right, go.
I've got the Dallas Mavericks +10 at home over Cleveland, who I think have completely given up. Mavericks, huge win over the Nets last night. I had them as a home dog. Sacramento is a 5-point home underdog against the Spurs. Maybe that's with my heart, because the Spurs have a 1.5 game lead on the Pelicans right now for the final.
What about your heart there?
I'm just saying I'm taking Sacramento as a home dog, just wanting to.
Oh, because it benefits the Pelicans.
Yeah, I want them to win. They had a good road trip, though. Portland, I actually took Portland laying 8.5 against the Lakers because LeBron's out tonight already. I don't know what's going to happen with AD going to the locker room. I think the Lakers are just mailing it in completely till the playoffs. In Major League Baseball, I've got Oakland +120, Milwaukee -135, and over 9.5 in Astros Blue Jays.
Why the over there?
I like both lineups. I mean, Toronto's got some young studs, and that was basically the logic.
All right, who we got? We got graphics for everybody, TJ. So bring me Mush. Bring me Mush.
Not Mush.
He didn't send picks?
He's out west. Yeah. I mean, picks are due at 7:30 a.m.
I imagine it's not much of a morning person.
Fair enough. All right, well, give me Big F's picks. Cardinals -1.5 where he's got Diamondbacks money line. He's with me on that. Reds money line +128. Okay, he's going with some dogs. And Nuggets Jazz over 217. I thought about that over. But ultimately, I think it opened a little over 2007 or 217, and it's coming down a little bit because I feel like it's going to be like a playoff intensity atmosphere. It's going to be,
No Jamal Murray anymore.
And the Jazz get after you defensively. They make it tough on you. So I kind of like the under there, but Big Ev's going with the over. So respect for that. We got Rico. Brewers money line +120. Twins money line -148. See, there's that juice I try to get rid of.
No, he always claims the juice bag stuff.
He does.
He took $200.
He's two of them. Look, but he's got Padres money line -150.
He did take $200.
And he's the one that always says juice. Unbelievable. Are you saying some things about Rico could be phony? No.
He's really funny this week on Pick Central.
Of course he is. He's always funny. He's the most electric guy we got. He's just one of the worst people we got too. He's my favorite and my least favorite person at Barstool. Rico's picks, there you go, Brewers money line, Twins money line, Blue Jays money line, and Padres money line. Do we have anybody else? I can't remember who's on this show. No, that's it? Joey didn't give picks?
Not today.
My sister didn't give any picks?
How old is your sister?
26. What is that?
I was just trying to do the math.
She's 16 years younger than me. She was born 2 months before my 16th birthday. We were both raised only children, just about.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So is that your only sibling?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
16 years, I did.
So she was probably not expected to be part of the...
No, my parents say that she was an accident, I was a mistake. So my parents don't say that because my dad's in jail, they don't talk. They're not legally allowed to be close to each other. My mom's here, too. I'm going to bring my mom in next week. My mom's a tiny little woman.
Awesome. She's up here for Mother's Day, huh?
Yeah. We're going out to dinner tonight. Yeah. Awesome. Going to be great. Going to get a nice steakhouse. Oh, it'd be beautiful. I'm going to get some oysters Rockefeller.
Ooh.
I can't wait. There's nothing like knowing you're eating in a big time restaurant that night and planning out just
looking at the menu. I spend a lot of time spending, looking at these menus and stuff. Yeah,
you look at it before. Or
oh,
you,
I'm like,
you
tell
you,
yeah, I plan, okay. I'm planning it out.
I pregame, buddy.
Oh damn!
We do the film work down in Mississippi. We look out what we're gonna eat.
I had some of the best veal parmesan I've ever had.
It looked good.
Yeah.
What was that from?
It's from Carbone. It was really good. It was pretty expensive.
I love how Southern you said Carbone. Mm-hmm. From Carbone.
Didn't say it very Italian.
Carbone is the reason I'm here. My parents fucked in the Butte Riviera. All right.
Yak next.
Nobody laughed at all. Thought that was a good line. Fuck you, Brandon Walker. Okay, the Yak is up next. I think we'll have the Odaniacs rankings. Kobe's
and
here
to
produce. My sister will be here. Kobe's over there yawning like a fucking asshole.
I'm going to have a college baseball blog out in the next hour or two previewing the weekend too, guys.
That'll be awesome.
He said go fuck yourself.
Thank you, boys.